Welcome to AM Now, where we bring you the trending accounting matters we're following. I'm your host, Adam Olson, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Nicole Harger and Matt Visser. Each bite-sized episode keeps you and your finance and accounting teams in the know. Join us each week as we unpack these issues, topics, and accounting matters now. You're listening to AM Now, an Accounting Matters podcast. I'm Adam Olson.
And I'm Nicole Harger. Today, we're kicking things off by sounding the alarms that the SEC is meeting March 6th, a month earlier than anticipated, to consider finalizing their highly anticipated climate disclosure rules. At the time of this recording, the meeting has not yet occurred, so be on the lookout for our AM Now episode next week, where we will discuss the outcome of the meeting, as well as our SEC Climate Rule webinar on March 14th, where we will discuss the final published rule in more detail.
Next, let's stay on the topic of sustainability and touch on the recent IFRS Sustainability Symposium, which I myself had the opportunity to attend in New York City a couple weeks ago. As a highlight, this symposium, in its second year, gathers participants from over 1,000 companies, investors, regulators, and stakeholders groups across nearly 50 domestic and international jurisdictions, all converging to discuss the implementation of the International Sustainability Standards Board, ISSB standards, worldwide.
To remind our listeners, the ISSB standards finalized last summer are designed to be applicable across different financial accounting standards, facilitating the production of comprehensive and streamlined financial reports that cater to the global and domestic investor needs. These standards also complement existing frameworks such as the TCFD recommendations, SASB standards, and the Integrated Reporting Framework. Notably, there's a high degree of alignment between ISSB standards and the European Sustainability Reporting Standards over climate, streamlining requirements and reducing complexity for companies adhering to both sets of standards.
Yeah, the ISSB standards are currently being embraced through two primary avenues as the global baseline for sustainability reporting. First, jurisdictions worldwide are integrating or planning to integrate these standards into their legal and regulatory frameworks to ensure globally consistent and comparable sustainability-related information for capital markets. Second, we're even seeing companies voluntarily adopt the ISSB standards in response to investor demands for standardized, comparable, and decision-useful sustainability information. As the world moves towards a more sustainable future, standardized sustainability reporting is becoming increasingly vital. The ISSB standards, embraced by jurisdictions and companies worldwide, play a pivotal role in providing transparent and comparable sustainability information, crucial for investors, regulators, and stakeholders alike.
Next, lawmakers in the European Parliament and European Council have reached a provisional agreement to establish an EU carbon removals certification framework. The framework was initially proposed by the European Commission in 2022 as part of the EU's strategy to achieve climate neutrality by 2050. The framework is crucial to achieving climate neutrality as it aims to scale up carbon removal activities and prevent businesses from greenwashing. It also creates new opportunities for businesses deploying carbon removal solutions and engaging in innovative carbon farming practices.
The regulation will maintain an open definition of carbon removals, and the scope of the regulation is extended to include soil emission reduction activities. Activities that do not result in carbon removals or soil emission reductions are not included in the scope of the regulation. The agreement maintains the Commission's initial proposal for four overarching certification criteria: quantification, additionality, long-term storage, and sustainability. Based on these criteria, the Commission will develop tailored certification methodologies for different types of carbon removal activities.
The agreement also calls on the Commission to include clear liability mechanisms when developing these certification methodologies in order to address cases of reversal where carbon is released back into the atmosphere and the consequences of incomplete monitoring and non-compliance. As for next steps, the European Parliament and Council now need to formally adopt the regulation before it can be published and entered into force.
Moving along, the European Council adopted a directive aimed at safeguarding consumers against deceptive green claims, so anti-greenwashing laws. The directive bans the use of generic environmental claims on product labels that are unfounded and only allows the use of sustainability labels that are based on official certification schemes. The directive is part of a set of proposals by the European Commission to update rules protecting consumers from unfair commercial practices, such as untruthful or aggressive advertising. As a recent study by the Commission found that more than half of green claims by companies in the EU were vague or misleading, and 40% were completely unsubstantiated.
The directive also includes rules focused on product durability, including banning unsubstantiated durability claims. The rules also mandate the creation of a harmonized label to give more prominence to goods with an extended guarantee period. The Council's adoption follows the European Parliament's adoption of the same directive at the end of January. Once the legislation is officially published, member states will have 2 years to incorporate the rules into national laws.
And two steps forward, one step back is how the saying goes. And despite these achievements from the European Council, last week they took a step back in regards to EU legislation that would require companies with generally over 500 employees and $150 million in global revenue to address negative impacts on human rights and the environment in their supply chain processes. A provisional agreement was reached last December with lawmakers in the European Parliament, but final voting for the directive was initially postponed and then disrupted last week with claims of financial and legal burdens on companies, as well as attempts to increase the threshold to companies with more than 5,000 employees.
So it's back to the drawing board for the European Council to get lawmakers on board and receive final approval for this legislation that would require companies to amend their policies and risk management systems, processes, and codes of conduct, adopt climate transition plans, implement a system to receive and address complaints, and be subject to monitoring and sanctions for failing to comply.
And finally, switching from sustainability reporting, which is what we've been doing for quite a bit, we'll wrap this week touching on the most recent board meeting held by the FASB. Last week, the FASB convened to continue deliberations of two current projects on its technical agenda. First, the board decided to proceed with issuing a final ASU on the scope application of profit interest awards and discuss changes made to the illustrative examples in the update, with the final ASU expected before the close of this quarter at the end of March. Second, the board also decided to confirm the scope of its project on purchased financial assets, affirming that the update would require all financial assets acquired through business combinations and asset acquisitions to be accounted for using the gross-up approach. However, like all decisions reached in these meetings, they are tentative until a final ASU is issued. And that rounds us out for this week. For a deeper dive into what's trending in accounting, finance, and sustainability reporting, check out our other podcasts on the Accounting Matters feed on your preferred listening platform. Again, I'm Adam Olson.
And I'm Nicole Harger.
Thanks for listening to AM Now. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Embark makes no representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in the podcast series, and it should not be used as a substitute for consultation with professional advisors. Information discussed in our podcast may also be superseded by new guidance or as new interpretations emerge. Listeners are cautioned to carefully evaluate any relevant, subsequent, authoritative guidance issued.